I'm Frank Vaughn. It's October 13th, 2025, and happy Thanksgiving Monday. We tend to do our Thanksgivings on Sundays, and there are many things that I'm thankful for. Maybe I'll talk about that at the end of the video. My intention for this video today was actually to wrap up something that I've been working on when it comes to the CIA and the FBI and various levels and state officials in the United States and in Canada. Charles Manson, how it all links to Charlie Kirk. But that's going to have to wait until tomorrow because I think it needs to be a standalone thing. I don't have any referral links. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I don't want you to click on a website and go and buy products. And there's a reason that I do this, and that is that I just want you to trust me. And even if you think I'm a light-blinded idiot, and you're welcome to think that, maybe I am. I'm always open to the concept that I am completely wrong and stupid, and I struggle against that notion every single day. I want you to know that I come by it honestly. And the current circumstances, when it comes to the global economy, when it comes to the U.S. economy, when it comes to Canada, when it comes to Europe, when it comes to the situation that we're all in right now, I'm very much reminded of the various letters and emails that I got in the COVID era from people who were able to protect their money in the face of that temporary blip on the radar. Now, it looked like a temporary blip on the radar. It actually wasn't, because the inflation that we all experienced during that time is baked in, and it's a lot higher than the official numbers. That was a massive robbery of your purchasing power. If you were sitting in money, if you had savings in money, you lost a lot of your value, and value is very different from money, as many of you watching this will know. And so many people who watched my work, and this is, we're going back to December 2019, all the way back, and I could see that something dark was coming for the global economy, that something dark was coming for the money supply, that the government response was going to break things, which it did, adopted various strategies. Everybody had to adopt their own strategy. It wasn't like I had a fixed and specific strategy that I was giving out to people. I just said, hey, this is going to be historic. This is going to be life-changing. They're going to print a bunch of money. They're going to lower interest rates. It's going to create a boom. But that boom is actually going to be driven by the decline in the purchasing power of the fiat currencies that we all hold in our pockets, and not so much a boom in asset prices, even though there was a boom in certain asset prices. At any rate, I received numerous thank you letters and emails and people just indicating that it was very helpful to them. And I'm in a similar situation right now. Look, we know that the government lies to us and gaslights us. And we seem to all be able to agree on that in general. But then when we start talking about particular politicians and particular parties, we get into a territory where people get upset and offended very easily because they've got their team and they bat for their team. What I'd like you to do is just set that aside for a minute, okay? And examine the record. And try not to think of the things that I'm about to say as an attack on any one individual politician. It's more of an assessment of the situation, because in particular today, the politician I'm going to talk about is Trump, and I'm going to talk about the Republican Party, and I'm going to talk about America in general and the state of the economy in general. And I just want you to know, there's many things about the Trump administration I like. But we're being gaslit. And we're being gaslit on a number of things. Now, just to examine the evidence, Epstein. We're being gaslit on Epstein. We're being gaslit when it comes to the serious trouble the U.S. economy is in. That's actually the main thing that we need to talk about. 125% debt to GDP ratio is not sustainable. The purchasing power of the U.S. dollar is something like 6/10 of a cent to a dollar compared to what it was when Roosevelt was seizing all the gold, when gold was $35 an ounce. These are kind of big concepts. There's trouble coming, and the people at Fox News and even to another degree at MSNBC or CNN or the mainstream media outlets are not portraying it the proper way. This is a big problem that's going to affect everybody on the left and right. It doesn't matter your political stripes. And people just want to argue about this like partisan politics. But we're coming into a bad time, And institutional investors know that we're coming into a bad time. They are preparing, and we should be paying attention. I've often said that if you want to win in the markets, and mind you, once again, I am not a market participant. I don't own any stocks. But I like to understand things. I like to understand how things work. And if you're a fish swimming in the sea, it's a lot easier to swim in the wake of whales than it is to stand alone. And what the whales are doing right now should give everybody pause for concern. Let's just look at a couple things. This is Berkshire Hathaway. This is Warren Buffett. This is his company. They, what the chart that you see on screen, is their supply of cash on hand by year. And you can see that since June of 2022, they have been moving most of their power and value into cash. This is because, and this is record, like this is record, even if you account for the inflation that we talked about that's baked in, that inflation that you've already suffered for the last several years, it's a lot higher than official numbers. It's baked in. It's not going away. Those price rises are there. So this is one of my big problems with how government talks. And this is the U.S. government. This is the Canadian government. When they talk about inflation being brought under control, they're kind of lying to you. Because the inflation that you've already suffered didn't go away. Just the percentage of rise, and that's if you can, you can't even accept their publicly available numbers because they underrepresent the real inflation rate by huge factors. They're just reducing the rate of rise. They're not fixing the inflation that's already robbed you of your purchasing power because of all the money printing and all the debt spending that all of the governments of the world are engaged in right now. Berkshire Hathaway is sitting in cash, not because they love cash, but because they want to buy the blood. This is like, there were people in 2007 and 2006 and even 2005. I watched a talk this morning over coffee from 2005 talking about the impending collapse of residential real estate in effect. And it took a couple years to transpire. But when it did, it dragged the entire global economy down. This time round in 2025, it's going to be a lot worse. And these guys know it. They're planning to buy the blood. The stock market, it's record. You hear Trump talk about it all the time. The stock market's at records. It's never been so good. The economy's booming. Except it's not true. The stock market is being driven. And I'm actually going to go to Grok, to AI, because AI knows this. But the public doesn't seem to understand it. So are retail investors driving the highs? Yes, retail. This is the one I want you to pay attention to, is options and sentiment. Retail options buying has been net positive for 22 straight weeks, with last week as the second most bullish of 2025. High leverage tools like ODTE, options, and fractional shares amplify their impact. Retail is buying at record rates, and they're buying with leverage, which means they're borrowing to buy assets at all-time highs, and they're doing it in record numbers at the exact same time. And again, I'm only going to AI because AI knows this. I don't like using AI as a tool to tell you what is and what isn't. AI is just like another fancy search function. You use it, and then you go and you verify what it tells you in your own way. Your brain is the master switch. Your brain is the key. It's just a tool. But it knows this. It confirms what I know from everything I've been reading over the last 3 days. Are investment houses selling off into cash? Yes, institutional investors, hedge funds, mutual funds, and other investment houses are net sellers, offloading $4.7 billion in U.S. equities last week, ending October 4th alone, the third largest two-week outflow since 2008. This sell-to-retail dynamic echoes past tops, with pros distributing gains while retail absorbs. You're about to get screwed if you're in retail. You're about to get screwed royally. They're going to take your stuff. They're going to take your purchasing power. And it's going to happen in real time. Something else that's going on, I think everybody should pay attention to. And again, I have no referral links. I just use these guys as a tracker of Canadian spot prices because they have a nice ticker at the top of the screen. Silver's an all-time high. Gold is at all-time high. There's fractures in the silver market where basically silver that's being sent to COMEX in the United States is being sent back to London to try and prop up the actual physical supply, because most of this price action is being driven by paper. And the real physical, tangible silver, which everybody seems to want, including central banks and institutions, are buying this stuff because it's a good hedge against hyperinflation, which is going to kick off and continue. Like, it is continuing. And when the wheels come off the bus, when it finally collapses, when the crisis in commercial real estate, because like the crisis in commercial real estate isn't going to end. It's only going to reveal itself. That's what we're coming into, is this revelatory time. Now, meanwhile, Trump is in Israel, obviously proud of the fact that they've spent $30-40 billion fighting Israel's war, talking about a pardon for Netanyahu, giving speeches in Jerusalem. You have to understand something, folks. The United States, some of the best aspects of this try, what we're calling the try of the Trump administration, was Doge, for instance. Doge being something brought together to try and solve the fact that the U.S. debt-to-GDP ratio, just public debt, we're not talking about privately held debt, is 125% debt-to-GDP ratio. The deficit that the United States is running is greater than what Biden ran right now, and nobody seems to want to talk about this unsustainable situation. Did you know? Well, at the same time, Canada's debt-to-GDP ratio is running at 110%. These are both crisis numbers. I can't emphasize that enough. It is crisis numbers. Some people I've seen say that the way that the United States plans to get out of this, the way the Trump administration plans to get out of this, is to hyperinflate the U.S. dollar, and they're proud of that. They're like, yeah, MAGA! That means you get annihilated. That means you get wiped out. If you're holding cash, or you're holding commercial real estate, or you're holding any number of other paper things, stocks, you're going to get wiped out. Just like and worse than 2008. Like, I mean, in my mind, alarm bells are going off everywhere while we're being gaslit into thinking everything is fine, or even those who are saying that things aren't as good as they appear to be, they're doing it in partisan ways, and they're not, like, seeing the whole picture. Probably because the Warren Buffetts of the world and these investment houses that are actually moving into cash to get ready to buy all this blood pay for all the political parties, pay for all the media. So it kind of makes sense that they wouldn't tell you the full truth, because they want to take advantage of the situation. So going backwards for a minute to that debt-to-GDP ratio and why it's important, 125% for the United States, 110% for Canada. When the EU was being conceptualized and they were laying out the credentials that the member states would have to have and the things that they would have to abide by to get in on the union, they settled on a 60% debt-to-GDP ratio as being the point at which those member states would be obligated to take significant action, because 60% in their minds was the start of crisis level. And there's a reason for that. Once you get in excess of 60%, the return on new deficit spending starts to become eliminated. And what do I mean by that? Sometimes, as a business, you can borrow money and invest it in your business to make money. The government can borrow money. Say they borrow $100 million and they invest it whenever they invest it in, and they can expect below 60% to get 110, 120, 130 million back on that. And thus, things keep moving along. The problem is once you get in excess of 60%, the new money that you're creating, the new programs that you're creating, the debt spending that you're doing, doesn't yield a return that's even equal to the amount you spent. And that's the position the United States is in right now. Multi-trillion dollar deficits, not generating returns. It's just a debt spiral falling into the abyss. And every single politician in the United States is telling us it's fine. At least the politicians that are in power. Stock markets at all-time highs, as if that means anything. Retail is driving that. Panic is driving that. FOMO, fear of missing out. People are buying tops on leverage, as the big, rich, powerful financiers position themselves in cash and precious metals because they're going to buy the blood when the bottom falls out. And I think, this is my guess anyway, 2026 is going to be that year before the midterms. Hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. You can't run an economy this way. You know, something else, and you might call this anecdotal, but I'm gonna pull this up. This is now the bloody website. It broke on me, so this is what I've got. This is search popularity for Give House Back. There's also, I did a bunch before the website broke. I looked into help with mortgage. Actually, I think that's what this is. This one's help with mortgage. So it peaked in 2008, and here we are back to today at a point where people say there's not a crisis, there's not a problem. We're sleepwalking into this. This chart is search terms for give car back, people defaulting on their car sales. If you dig beneath the surface and you start looking, you find flashing red lights everywhere that we're being gaslit about the strength of the U.S. economy. It's not strong at all. Retail is going to get nuked. Now, in addition to reading about all this stuff and listening to some of the voices out there that are actually trying to report on the economy, honestly, I reached out to an acquaintance of mine that works at one of the big five banks, and they handle hundreds of millions of dollars through their office in terms of investment management. They're moving into cash too. Just a personal acquaintance, somebody that I trust. They're moving into cash too. They don't have any of my cash. They don't have any of my holdings. I'm not in the stock market. I don't have any referral links. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm just saying that when the central banks, when big finance is either moving into cash or precious metals as a hedge, they know something. And the little fishes that are swimming in the wake of the whales are about to get wiped out. So I mentioned at the beginning of the video, I wanted to talk about some of the things I'm thankful for. And over the Thanksgiving weekend, for my American audience, it's Thanksgiving weekend. This is actually a holiday today, Monday. I was sitting around my family. We've had company for the last 3 weeks. Family's been here, friends have been here. And it's kind of funny because we had that water tank blowout and we've had all these various crises. And then all of a sudden everything just calms down and it's back to quiet. And there we are. Sitting around the table, the snow was falling outside because we had our first snowfall of the season yesterday. And we're all sharing what we're thankful for. And I was so proud of my kids because the things that they listed, without prompting, were beyond pricing. And very simple. Family, love, being together, having a warm house, roof over our head, having running hot water. Some of the things that I'm thankful for is I bought my house, my first house, in 2009. And we all know what happened in 2008. And it didn't quite shake Canada the same way, but we did have a real estate problem. And so there was an opportunity to buy a house. And it was cool because we were living in that house and we were operating our farm out of that house already, and we had a very cooperative partner and the homeowner, and we made it happen, even though we didn't have a lot of resources to make it happen. We made it happen. And then we worked really hard. We rolled our change, and we struggled, and we paid that mortgage off, which was a cheap mortgage. There's a lot of people who feel like they're locked out. And even though I've highlighted on this channel how there's cheap real estate all over this country, just people don't want to move and buy it. They don't want to move. They want cheap real estate in Toronto and Vancouver. They want cheap real estate in the GTA. They don't want to relocate to the places where you can still afford to own a home and where there's work to be had. And that's fine. That's a choice people make. They have all kinds of reasons for doing that. But I think there might be an opportunity in the not too distant future when the wheels truly come off the bus, because it hasn't happened yet. The banks are using all kinds of interesting vehicles, especially in the United States, to hide the scale of the problem, and they've been doing it since 2023. But they're not going to be able to hide it for much longer. And the U.S. government, led by Donald Trump, gaslighting about how great the U.S. economy is, that's not going to last either. You can't do the things the U.S. government is doing, even in the middle of a shutdown, losing a fortune. Government shut down, and it's still losing money. I've often said on this channel that when the historic moment comes, things change faster than you can ever imagine. And those who are alive today, the current generations that are alive, are in the midst of a crisis of complacency bias, divorced from historical reality. This world that we live in is not post-historical. We are not past the point in time where change is a thing of the past. We don't even understand change. Most of the people that were around in the roaring 20s and witnessed the crash of 1929 are long gone. And with the way we hate on boomers and the way that we hate on aged people, no one's listening to the voices that were around for it anyway. We're not heeding the warnings of the past. Hell, we don't even wear poppies anymore. We're losing our bearing on the fact that we are subject to forces much greater than ourselves. We're not past change taking hold in our life. Big change. And I think we're on the cusp of it. The mighty U.S. dollar is a phrase that Donald Trump loves to use. It's not mighty. There's a basket of crappy currencies out there. They all suck. They're all based on nothing. The United States just happens to be the strongest as the global reserve currency of the basket of crappy currencies. As I may have mentioned in this video already, its value has declined 99.4%. since Roosevelt seized the gold. It's not so much that asset prices are going up, it's that the purchasing power of dollars are going down because so many of them have been printed and are in circulation. And then you've got these modern monetary theory people out there who are saying that this is a good thing, that this won't lead to disaster. The thing that North America has, the thing that this concept of Fortress North America, and this might seem contrary because I'm trying to tell you about how Trump is gaslighting everybody about the economy. North America has everything that it could ever need. And that basket of everything, raw materials and resources, could form the foundational basis of a new economic model with sound money to rebuild after this disaster that I really believe is coming plays out. I don't see how we get out of this without a disaster. And I guess what's the point of this video? The point of this video is to share, without any referral links or any need for you to buy my, any product that I might be trying to sell you. I'm not trying to sell you anything. If you have wealth and value to protect, you might want to think outside the box.